Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this world you've created, for allowing us to be a part of it. We thank you, Lord, that each day in your creation is a good day, and that you allow some days, Lord, to be a little bit better than others. We just thank you, Lord, for life, for each breath that we take, and for each moment in life that takes our breath away. We just thank you, Lord, for the majesty and beauty in your sunrise and your sunset, and that your love can radiate through a simple handshake, or better yet, a hug, for the peace that comes in knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
This time we'd like to ask the children to come forward for our children's moment. I'm awesome, that's what I am. You want to sit? Well, you come right on over here. How are you all doing this morning? And no, don't touch. Don't touch. Who has the bag this week? Nobody has the bag this week. Well, it's a good thing I came prepared. Do you all know what today is? It's Christ the King Sunday. What do I have on my head this morning? A crown. Where do you think I got it? Yes, from Burger King. I was not dubbed anything important. I went to Burger King and I got crowns. I hope I have enough for everybody. We'll see. Anybody want one of these? Pretty awesome, huh?
I do.
I know you do. All right. Well, today we celebrate that Jesus is our King. Today is the last Sunday of the Christian year. And next Sunday begins Advent. Next Sunday we look towards Christmas, and it's the first Sunday of the year, and we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. But we don't end the year before we remember and celebrate that Christ is our King and that we honor him in all that we say and do. So I want us to be mindful today that Christ is King and that in the midst of... Yeah, I should have probably worn this later. But anyway, so I want us to be mindful today that Christ is King and that our King loves us very much, okay? All right. Now, the next several weeks, we won't be doing the bag because it'll be Advent, and so we'll have some other things ready for you all. Maybe as cool as this, but I'm not quite sure yet. All right, so we're going to pray, and then you all can go to Children's Church, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day. We thank you for your love and grace. We thank you that you are our King, and we pray that we would continue to be mindful of that. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. We thank you for these children and the opportunity we have to teach them and the opportunity we have to learn from them. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can go to Children's Church.
Okay. The scripture is Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. By being strengthened through his glorious might, so that you endure everything and have patience, and by giving thanks with joy to the Father, he made it so you could take part in inheritance and light granted to God's holy people. He rescued us from the control of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He set us free through the Son and forgave our sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the one who is first over all creation. Because all things were created by him, both in the heavens and on the earth, the things that are visible and the things that are invisible, whether they are thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him, for him. He existed before all things. I'm sorry, my mouth is dry. He existed before all things, and all things are held together in him. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the one who is firstborn from among the dead, so that he might occupy the first place in everything. Because all the fullness of God was pleased to live in him, and he reconciled all things to himself through him, whether things on earth or in the heavens, he brought peace through the blood of his cross. The word of the God for the people of God.
Thank you, Regina. I'm just going to put that right there, give you all something to look at. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day that you have given to us, for all that this day represents, for the fact that you are King on the throne. We give you thanks. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of your word this morning, and we pray that you would be with the words you have given me to speak. May they be your words and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful and obedient to your call upon us. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. It is fun to be a Christian. I don't know how many of you all think about it that way, but I have always had fun being a Christian. As you can tell, I take things as seriously as they need to be taken, but I like to have fun with it because we serve a very fun God, a God who enjoys showing us things and helping us understand things in ways that we could have never imagined. Now, I'm not going to say that being a Christian is always easy. There are difficulties. There are persecutions, if you will, and various other things that we get through, but by and large, it's fun. Can I get an amen on that from a few of us that think it's fun this morning? I'm always humbled and amazed at what God has to teach me. And I'm even more humbled and more amazed in the various ways he teaches me and with the various people he uses to teach me. For instance, when I pray for patience and God puts me in a traffic jam in the middle of Elkton, Kentucky. Such a thing has never happened before until I pray for patience. Thank you, Lord. And he decides to teach me that. And I get these lessons from the strangest of places. Has anyone here ever learned something eternal about God from the most unlikely place imaginable? One of my favorite practices as a pastor is on Christ the King Sunday to go to Burger King and get crowns for all the kids. So that they can have something tangible for the day and kind of gives them a sense of what this day is about. And I always go to Burger King to get them, although I may change that after this year. Because this year, Burger King taught me something and really kind of reminded me something about God, about Jesus Christ, that I have forgotten, and I think from time to time all of us forget. Instead of the standard crown that I'm accustomed to, as you can see up on the screen, the one that I've been getting, we've always done it that way, they decided to trick me with this. I think they knew I was coming, and they gave this to me. So I go into Burger King on Monday. I was heading into Hopkinsville for a meeting, and as I was there, I was on the way, and there was Burger King, and I was like, okay, it's Christ the King Sunday. I'm going to go in. I'm going to get this crown. And I go in, and there's this lady at the front, you know, the cashier, and she's either just out of high school or maybe still in high school. And I said, yes, I would like 20 crowns, please. You know, because that's pretty standard, right? That's what everyone asks for. And I said, I promise they're not for me. Well, one is for me, but the rest are not. And she just was kind of like, all right. And so she, you know, reaches under to get that. And about that time, the manager of the store comes by, and she stands up straight and says, this gentleman has asked for 20 crowns. And the manager looks at her and says, well, give him 20 crowns. And so she pulls them out, and instead of what I was expecting, you can't even begin to imagine what went through my mind when I saw this. It's the ugliest crown I think I've ever seen in my entire life. I thought I knew what I was getting, but I was sorely mistaken. There are many who have thought they had Jesus figured out. They thought they knew what they were getting. They thought they knew what to expect, and they were sorely mistaken. We picture Jesus one way, but he very rarely shows up that way. He always shows up in ways that we are unexpected, in ways that we cannot even begin to fathom. He always shows up in the most unlikely places. And this morning, I want us to hear and be mindful of how he describes himself, of how our King tells us who he is. We cannot force our image on him, though we tend to do that. How many of us this morning, if we're honest with ourselves, tend to create God in our own image this morning? This is what he looks like. This is how he acts. This is, well, he wouldn't go there. Well, yeah, he probably would. Well, he wouldn't associate with those people. Well, yeah, he probably would. We often try to create him in our own image, forgetting that we have been divinely created in his. And that it's not our job to tell the world what we think he looks like. It's our job to reflect his image to all of those that we encounter. Burger King taught me that I had assumed expectations. And Burger King says, you cannot contain us in a box. We're not going to show up like that. We're going to show up like this. Beyond my expectations. And if Burger King can do that, I'm here to tell you Jesus Christ cannot be contained in a box either. He cannot simply appear the way we expect, but he is going to blow the roof off of our minds as he shows up. And that's what makes it fun, because we never quite know what to expect. Images of Jesus as king, while we all know he's king, they're not very common images, are they? When we think of Jesus, if you've seen the movie, I think it's Talladega Nights with Will Ferrell, he's praying to sweet little baby Jesus, 6 pounds, 7 ounces. If it wasn't for all the language, I would show that clip. We often are surrounded or give ourselves these images as this sweet little baby Jesus. Sweet little baby Jesus. Or maybe we see him as the crucified Savior and we just kind of keep him up there on the cross. Right? And those are typically the images that come to mind when we think of Jesus. And we often fail to see his role as king. We often refuse to look past these images of this baby or this suffering Savior. And this is pretty ironic when we consider that the Israelites of his day were busy with images of a king. And they failed to see Jesus as a baby. And they failed to see him as a crucified Messiah. We've kind of turned things around. In our expectations of who he is and what we think he should be. And we've failed to recognize him for who he is. So I ask us this morning, what do we assume about Jesus Christ? How do we picture him when we close our eyes and think of him? How do we expect him to look? What do we expect him to say? How do we expect him to act? Because if we're honest, as we read the gospel stories, he doesn't do what we expect. He doesn't say what we expect. Everything is different than what we would hope for. And I think a lot of the times the reasons we love the imagery of Jesus as a baby or Jesus on the cross is because this is when he is most vulnerable. And this Messiah doesn't expect anything of us. But when we think of him as king, when we think of him as he truly is, all of those expectations that he has for us begin to weigh us down and overwhelm us. Now, in all fairness, I've given Burger King a hard time this morning. In all fairness, I asked them for a crown, and that's what I got. Right? In all fairness, that's what I asked for, and that's what I got. I didn't say I need the crowns that you always have. I just said I need some crowns. And I got a crown. I wasn't expecting it to be orange. I wasn't expecting it to be spotted. I wasn't expecting it to have Chester Cheetah on there. Nor was I expecting there to be a chicken on the other side, or to say Cheetos or chicken fries. I certainly wasn't expecting the glasses. This is very new. And I'm a traditionalist. I've been going to Burger King all my life, and we've never done it that way, and I still don't know what I think about it. I wasn't expecting the whiskers on the sides. I wasn't expecting any of these things. My expectation was that Burger King would do what they have always done. Anybody ever feel that way about the church or about Jesus? It gets pretty dangerous, doesn't it, when we think that way? In all fairness, the world expected a Messiah, a Savior, and that is what we got. However, no one expected a virgin birth. No one expected a lowly lifestyle as the son of a carpenter. Nobody expected a meager following of what was around 120 people when he eventually ascended into heaven. No one expected him to be rejected by the religious leaders of the day. No one expected him to undergo persecution. Certainly not death. No one expected him to rise from the dead 3 days later or to ascend to the right hand of God the Father. No one expected this. We asked for a Messiah, we expected one, and we got one, but he did not look the way we expected. Our expectation was of a king that the world had always known, that the world had always seen, a ruler that we're used to, a person in authority that we can relate with because we've seen it time and time again. No one expects our king to ask anything of us because far too often we only see him as a baby or as a crucified Messiah. Paul tells us here in verse 18 that Jesus was the firstborn so that he might occupy the first place in everything. Now let me give us a little instruction here. He's not saying that he was born or created such as we were. When he's talking about being firstborn today, he's talking about the first one to rise from the dead, the firstborn of the resurrection, indicating that, of course, there will be others, and we will be able to take part in that resurrection upon his return. He was the firstborn so that he might occupy the first place in everything, especially our lives. And so I ask us this morning, does Christ occupy first place in your life? Or do our expectations of what Christ should look like occupy first place in our life? Do we allow our king to be king, or do we keep him as a baby or a crucified Savior? Are our expectations of Christ the king realistic? Are they fair? Are we allowing him to tell us who he is, rather than dictating to him who we want him to be? Verses 15 through 20 of this passage is an early Christian hymn. We're not sure if it was written by Paul or if it was some fairly common by the time he put it here, but it's a pretty straightforward hymn. It pretty much tells us exactly what Christ's work was, what he came to do and what he did and what he accomplished and continues to accomplish through the Holy Spirit. It tells us about his work and ministry. And we see that it was his role, and through his role as a baby and as a Savior, that he eventually becomes king. This morning on the altar, you see the Bible, the Word. And we're told in John chapter 1 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, this firstborn of all creation. And the crown of thorns represents what that flesh came to do. And then we have this other crown that represents the glory he has received as he has ascended to his heavenly Father, to his right hand. And of course, we see the cross as the instrument of that grace. And this morning we are reminded that it was his role as baby, as suffering Savior, that led him and instituted him as king. We see that his kingship is based on his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, unlike our earthly kings, whose kingship is based on the suffering and the death of others. He took upon himself what he knew we could not bear, which is not what is expected of our rulers today. I pray that as we enter this Advent season, as we look to the birth of Christ in the next few weeks, that we might not get caught up in our expectations, but that we would allow Jesus to show up as he is. That we would allow our King the dignity to be who he is in our midst and in our lives. Our expectations of Jesus, if you go to the next slide, this is typically how we think of him, right? Little precious moments, baby. Oh, so cute, so sweet. Doesn't expect anything of us, right? Or we have the picture of him on the cross, right? And again, there's nothing much he expects from us there. And then I laughed out loud when I saw this other picture. I don't really look like this. That's true. Sorry if that bothers you this morning. This is how we typically think of Jesus. And this morning, as we celebrate and remember that he is our King, we cannot keep him in the manger. We cannot keep him on the cross, nor can we keep him in the tomb. He is at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, as we have already affirmed this morning. The reality of Christ our King, I think, is best told by this sculpture here. Has anyone seen this before? It's a fairly new sculpture, I think done around 2012. The name of the sculpture is Homeless Jesus, and it's by Timothy Schmalz, who is a Canadian sculptor. What I find interesting about this is an actual park bench that people can come and sit on. And here we don't see his face. We see his feet, and there are holes there indicating where he has been crucified. And there he is, waiting for us to act. You see, the other pictures of Jesus don't expect anything of us, but this one does. Because our King expects us to do unto him as we have done to the least of these. We show our King honor when we see those in need and we see Jesus beckoning us to come and to help, to offer grace, justice, and mercy to those who far too often have been denied that privilege. We don't expect Jesus to look like this, but I guarantee you this is probably how he's going to show up to you next time. He's going to come to you, and he may be dirty. He may be a little gross. He may be asking you for something. He may be coming in a way that you simply do not expect, but know that it is him. And that he expects you to treat him like a king. The reality of Christ our King is that we should not expect, but rather we should accept. Don't expect him to show up in any particular way, but accept him when he does. And we must not assume anything about our Savior, but rather we must be consumed by his love and his grace, so that we may reach out in concern and service to the world, so that all may come to know the King, so that when his name is proclaimed, as those heads are bowing and those knees are bending, they will be those who join with us. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Christ, our King. Gracious Heavenly Father, we confess that far too often we fail to see you as King, and in so doing we fail to see others and the needs that they have. We pray that you would give us the strength and the courage to go out, to reach, to embrace, to love you, as you have loved us. May we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give drink to the thirsty, visit those who are sick and those who are in prison, because we know that when we are doing that for them, we are coming before the throne of our King. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you for all that you have done and continue to do in our midst. Amen.